Blog Talk Radio.
Paperfall Bros on the beat.
When I was coming up in OG, you used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Lay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, you used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Lay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing.
I learned it from the OG, the one that came before me. I stay up on the grind, every day I kill the old me. Don't let the baby face fool you, the streets is what has grown me. All you fucking haters tryna blow like y'all some goalies. Ronaldo on the pitch, can't no motherfucker hold me. We some Godzillas getting bigger by the moment. I'm about to cop a villa off the island for the throne beat. I'm a go-e, cause I'm a microphone beat. Something like my daddy, I get it from my OG. Do some things and play the game, put the paper in the back. And bring struck, start a brand new kingdom. Forever now the king is home. OG from the Senate song.
When I was coming up in OG, you used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, take your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, you used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, take your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math,
was coming up, them OGs tried to show me how to slang that weed and make money, that's the old me. I still get that green on different me, but I'm my homie. I still got them OGs on my team, ain't never lonely. OGs know me, living life on what they told me. Find your path, to your math, all that sell, keep money growing. Stay on track, go some rap, smoke some weed, keep money flowing. Yes, indeed, I'm real OG, never soft like Pillow B. Die hard fan like Ginobili and 210, we real OGs. Some OGs be double, some OGs be triple, some OGs act bitter, but real
OG's
original.
Yeah,
real OG's original.
Real OG's
original.
When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing. When I was coming up in OG, used to tell me, I just dance, had the cash, get that paper, homie. Stay on track, stack your ass, keep that money growing. Find your path, do the math, and keep your money flowing.
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday, July the 15th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sister, we got to destroy one of these sacred cows, and we want to break down how to open the windows of heaven. And this is extremely important because we all have different understandings of what this means. But today we want to get into didaculos. We're going to break it down didactically. It's extremely important, brothers and sisters. I'm not here to bring about confusion. I'm not trying to swindle and fuse you or join you to a low vibrational entity. That's not my purpose. That's not my destiny. That is not my gifting. I'm here on behalf of prime creator, the source, the Big G. As a divine representation of his emanation, a part of the seven rays, or one of the seven rays, this is the glow ray. Everybody has a glow ray. Your ability to understand the statements that I'm about to make today is going to separate you or make the difference between your ability to actually be in heaven, where you wake up every day and your toes are curled. And it's not because of something or someone. It's because of your dispositional birthright. As a child of the king, you have the vibrational, or you are the vibrational equivalent of the king, aka queen. And it's this ability to wrap your brain around that as a king or a queen, you are above the frequency or the prince of the air. And your ability to understand what that means is that you get to write the script based upon your birthright, based upon the fact that source code has downloaded inside of you something that is extremely important. Now, again, we've got to do this didactically so that way everyone over unders and understands, and we are able to put the enemy out, because where there's a lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. So source wants you to have this knowledge, and it's an honor and a privilege to be able to bring this to you today. So if you go to Malachi chapter 3, and Malachi 3 is the scripture that every church that everybody's been to, you've heard this 1,000 times. It's the scripture that they read right before offering. And this scripture has been butchered. And I mean, it's not their fault, because if you just read it on the surface, that's kind of what it sounds like. And you look into the tithe and the tenth, and they always say, you know, you've been cursed with a curse. You know, Matthew 3:9 says, you are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, Matthew 3:8. I keep saying Matthew. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have I robbed thee? And then the scripture says in Malachi 3:8. I'm going to get it right. Malachi 3:8. Tithes and offering. And so these two words, tithes and offering, is the first thing that we need to destroy today when we look at under over to understand how you are supposed to open the windows of heaven so that way source can pour out a blessing, what we call a blessing, but it's a blessing. The word bliss means the joy of heaven downloaded into the body of a man. I'm there right now. Toes, both toes curled, all 10 toes are curled. And I shouldn't be there based upon, you know, the recent events that have taken place in my life. And it's really interesting, because when I think about it, It's you know how you like try to make yourself emotional? Like you want to feel sorry, you want to beat yourself up, and you kind of feel guilty in a way, because the joy of heaven is downloaded into your brain. And also keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that the sound starts to go. Just somebody please text me or email me, let me know. Somebody, you know, Sister Ellen, another one of you guys that's one of my regular listeners. If it gets a little choppy or staticky or what have you, please just let me know and we'll change over and switch mics. But today, brothers and sisters, let's go ahead and let's destroy, let's put the enemy out, so that way you can wake up every day, regardless of your bank account, regardless of your health, regardless of your wisdom, regardless of your relationship. Every day you wake up and all 10 toes are curled. Every day you wake up, you're stuck on the ceiling because you didn't settle. You elevated your consciousness, your awareness, and your perception, and you became one with source. And once you do that, brothers and sisters, then you understand that the word tithes and the word offering, well, let's look at the word offering first, because these are the two things that we're talked about in our traditional Christendom that we are supposed to be being and supposed to be doing. And when we first look at this word, let me pull it up. It is a Hebrew word, strong H. 8641, teruma. So teruma is a Hebrew word that gives us the English word offering. That means contribution. It means an offering or a contribution. It means contribution. It means gift. It means to obligate or to offer up gift. It's especially used gift brought to temple. So it's a gift that you bring to the temple. It means that it's a gift that you bring to fertile fields. It means a gift that you bring to a fertile field. A gift that you bring is a contribution that you bring. Again, according to the original text. Now, let's go. We can't go all seven words deep on all of this stuff because we'll be here, you know, for hours. So let's go second base. So the second word, and actually, let me pull some of these up. Let me pull a couple of these words up so that way I can play it for you so that way you can actually hear it yourself and get a deeper, you know, understanding. So the second word is like some people's favorite drink. Rum. Rum. It's spelled R-U-W-M. Rum. Like rum. R-U-M. Now, I'm not a drinker, but rumor has it that rum is a pretty good drink. I could probably ask my son, Bijola. I know he probably had sipped on a little bit of rum coke back in the day. And so it says to bring all of, well, let me go back. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yep, you had robbed me. When have you robbed me? Tithes and offering. We break it down the first word, offering. And like I said in the beginning, and let me go back because this is extremely important because this is didacticus. This is didactic. And if you can wrap your brain around this, we're going to put the devil out. We're going to put him on the street. So let me pull this one up. Bear with me 1 second.
Strong's H8641. Teruma. Teruma.
So teruma is the first Hebrew word for the English word offering. Teruma. That means you're supposed to contribute to your field. Your field is the body. The body is made up of dirt. Dirt is the field. It says temple. You are the temple. You got two temples behind your eyeballs. Homeboy, you got two temples behind your eyeballs. Homegirl, you're supposed to contribute something to your temple. Now, between these two temples is something called a freaking brain, contrary to popular belief. Everybody got one. And you're supposed to be mining your mind. Mining your mind. If you don't mind, I'm going to mine your mind. If you don't mind. So as long as you don't mind, I'm going to mind your mind. Now, mining and mind, phonetically, remember the book of coming forth by day? This is how you come forth by day, come forth by night, the Egyptian book of the dead. So if you don't understand this, you're dead, or you're going to be dead, because you're going to be mind-elfed. Now, I mean, not you personally, but, you know, people you know. Now, the next word that we need to look at and break down for underneath.
Strong's age, 7311. Room. Room.
That's the word room. It's spelled like the word rum, R-U-M. That means to rise up. That means to be lofty. That means to be exalted. That means to lift up. Anybody drive for Lyft? Anybody means lift up? There are some people that have a Hebrew name, and their Hebrew name actually means to lift up. Now, inside of my book that I wrote 20 years ago, I have in there my mission statement, which is to uplift the spirit of humanity by replacing error with truth, and that truth being quantum physics, biology, cosmology, the word of source. That's a book that I wrote 20 years ago. That's my purpose, my mission. That's why I'm here. It is to elevate your consciousness. Now, remember, this is an offering. I'm not making this up. You can look it up for yourself. This is what the word offering means. Now, we got too much to go. I was going to go a couple of more words deep, but basically that gives us the depth of the first word offering. Again, it has nothing to do with coins, has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with time or energy and effort. It has to do with main. You're supposed to, in your temple, you're supposed to contribute something that rises you up, that makes you feel lofty, that makes you feel lifted up, that makes you feel exalted. It means to exalt. It means to extol. It means to lift up. It means to raise up. It means to set up. It means to erect. It means to set on high. It means to lift very high. It means to abolish. It has nothing to do with coins or money. Nothing. That's just two words. I'm not even going to go to the other words because it's going to mess up your theology. It's going to hurt your brain, and you're going to be walking around, you know, in a dumb stupor. I mean, not you personally, but, you know, people you know. Now, that's just the word offering. We're just going to go two words deep for the sake of time. Because, again, I need you to open up the windows of heaven so that way you can join me in a state of bliss. In the face of, now, I'm in the lion's den. I ain't out yet. I am in the lion's den. And in the book of Daniel, when Daniel was in the lion's den, it said that he stood and he gazed intently into heaven. That's what that's offering. In his brain, lions was getting ready to maul him, but he stood and he gazed into heaven. He was already there. See, you don't go to heaven. You are already in heaven. That's an offering. An offering is a mental disposition that lifts you above the fray. That's an offering. An offering is a mental disposition that when you're supposed to be, when you ain't got no money and you're supposed to be walking around poor critter, you balling like you're a billionaire. See, an offering is when you go to the doctor and they say you got the C word, you got get your house in order, you got 30 days, and you go out and you throw a party and you eat nachos and Krispy Kreme donuts. You see, an offering is when you have no college degree, when you are a functional illiterate, and you're a short black man from Forrester, Texas, and you ain't got, when everybody else thinks that you're a freaking shepherd, but God say, when others saw a shepherd boy, I saw a king. You see, when you don't have what everybody else have, and you're still able to have a personal, private, productive relationship with yourself, with your source, and with others, and you establish that relationship that is based upon unconditional love, that regardless of what you get back, you give with no intention because you do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That's an offering. Now we got to get to the next word, which is the tithe. Now, again, we haven't even got to the good part yet. Stick around, brother. Stick around, sister. So the word tithe in this scripture is a very interesting word. And I've heard this preached, wow, in all kind of ways. And it's all designed to make you feel something. What you supposed to feel? Guilt. Shame. Hate. Because if you ain't got no money to give, but you want to give, how do you feel? Now, I didn't read about this shit. This in no book, homie. Freaking real life experience. I know that feeling. Why? It neurologically disconnects the brain from reasoning and logic. That way you walk out of that temple. That's the fake temple, because the real temple is the body. And you walk out of there and them demons is waiting for you. As soon as you, well, they don't even wait for you to get out. Shit, they right there sitting inside of you. Some of them in the pulpit. And that is the whole purpose, because that scripture says that your thoughts are supposed to be high and lifted up. But how do you feel? Well, I know how I felt. I know how I felt when I was even saying it, because I knew it didn't make common sense. But I just went along with everybody else. The next word that we need to look at is this word for tithe.
46:43. Maaseiah.
Maaseiah. Spelled Maaseiah. Now, this is the Hebrew word for the English word tithe. It means tenth part. It means payment of a tenth. Now, brothers and sisters, let's break it down, because it continues after that. That's the only part I've ever heard anybody say, is that first sentence of the definition. It's very interesting that they never continue to read all the definitions or all the parts of the definitions. Or the entire word, I should say. Now, this is just the first word of the seven words. And when we look at that word, again, it just simply means a tenth. It means a part. But it also goes on to say it means tithes of tithes. It's like a tidal wave. It means the year of the tithe. It means every third year in which the tithes or the tithe was used. It means every third year tithe. That's first base. Now, my brothers, now my sisters, now remember, hang on to that. Hang on to first base. It means a tenth, and it means every 3 years. It's a tenth every 3 years, according to the scripture. And then let's go to second base.
Age 6240. SR. SR.
So Strong's age
6240. SRA. SRA. Third entry. SRF. SRF.
So in that one word, the second word, it has three different meanings or three different expressions when we go to the second base. So now we're going through four words that gives us one English word that we call tithe. A-S-A-R is the first word of the next three words. This is extremely important because it means tenth. It means used in combination to make numbers. That's the exact meaning. A-W-S-A-W-R. Asar. It means only in a combination. It means this can only be used in a combination. It has to do with, and I quote, Strong Concordance number, H6240. Do not believe me. Please look this up for yourself. It means etymologist on etymology in conjunction with the 10 fingers. You have 10 fingers, 5 fingers on each hand. Do you not? Unless, obviously, you know, if something, you got a deformity or something like that. But normally, everybody got 10 fingers. So this word means, and it used an example of scripture, Genesis 5:8, that says, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And so it goes through the Bible, and it says that Strong Concordance number 6240 matches up the Hebrew word asar. It occurs 335 times in 295 verses in the Hebrew Concordance. And it lists every time that word is used. And every time that word is used, it means a sum total of numbers. Let me say that again real slow. How do you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing or a blessing that you can't receive? It just overtakes you. It means the sum total of your numbers. Now, I have the life optimization circle, and I've told you, and I've been saying in my closing, I used to say S-O-N, then I started saying S-U-N, now I'm saying S-U-M. Where did I get that from? Because I source prepared me for June the 30th at 9:30 p.m. when the phone call came in that would destroy most people I know, including myself, if I was not prepared 2 years in advance. Now, I've always known this about the definition of the word tithe and offering. And I remember the word offering, as I said before, it's very interesting because I have a client and her name in Hebrew means lavar, which means in Latin to lift up, to rise up. It's in reference to the moon goddess. And the moon goddess name, the moon is the only planet that has effects on water. The moon is the only planet that can make a high tide and low tide. The moon changes the tide. The tide is the tide. The tide is the tithe. Father, mother, source, the sum total of all the numbers. Remove the scales from the eyes of your people that they may experience the tithe, the tidal wave, the tide. T-I-D-E, and the tithe, T-I-T-H-E, is the same. Now, I know this is contrary to, it's a washing of the water. And every third day, the tide changes. High tide, low tide. It comes in, it comes out. It is the sum total of the numbers, according to, that's just the second base. That's just the second word. You do not want me to read all seven words. You don't want me to do that. Trust me, you don't want me to do that. Because you would be like me, you're going to be very angry at yourself for buying and drinking the purple Kool-Aid. Excuse me. Now, let me make sure you understand. Let's just go the second one. Okay, one more. Now, brothers and sisters, when you add up numbers together, This word means the conjunction or the adding. It like use your 10 fingers to count with. That's basically what it means. So on my life optimization chart, my circle, I got 12 numbers on that. Each one of these numbers are points of connectivity. This is your tithe. This is your tithe. It means strong course number 862. It means 10 only when combining them to bring about a teen. Now, let me say it again. Father. Oh, man. I'm getting excited. Let me get some water. I don't want to start screaming and yelling. Brother Jasper don't like it when I start preaching. He say, Doc, I'm with you, dog, until you start yelling and screaming, man. And then I'm trying to tone it down, brother. I just want to speak very plainly and very clearly because I'm in a state of bliss. That state of bliss comes from source. It comes from being in the presence of the King. Now, the next word sounds very similar to the
Strong's
previous word.
6235, SR, SR, second entry, SRA, SRA, third entry, Asereth, Asereth.
So that's three more words. So we did one word, then we did three. Now there are three more. That's a total of seven words in Hebrew that gives us one word in the English called a tithing. And I've never, ever, ever passed messages from the old school dudes, from the Great Awakening, Charles Finney, and all these old cats. My boy, what was that fire and brimstone preacher back in the day? What was his name, Father? Start with a T. Tyndale? None of them dudes. I never heard them break this down. All the way up to current preachers, I've never heard this broken down. Now, I'm not saying that they haven't broken it down. I'm just saying that it's not really promoted, or I have not really heard it. And I've listened to a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of stuff. It means the only way to become a teen. Now, the word teen means team. Come on, preacher. So you got 10 toes, but those are not teens. The word means 10, and then you get some combination of other numbers that takes you to 11 through 19. Strong concordance number. Now, I challenge you to look this up for yourself. 86240. It means using numbers that make numbers 11 through 19. So you cannot get higher until you become a team. That's why Negroes buy broke. They die broke and alone because they don't build a team. They don't join a team. The enemy will want to make sure, get a bunch of black people together and try to do something positive. Watch what happens. I already know. Been there, done that, got two T-shirts. Things start happening to individuals to lower the vibration of the team. So the enemy is going to attack individual members of the team because he can't bring down the whole organization of the team because they are together and their numbers together means 11 through 19. Now, again, I challenge you not to believe me, and I encourage you to pull up these numbers. Now, we just went through seven words in Hebrew. None of them has to do with money. None of them has to do with coinage. None of them have to do with time. They always have to do with all these words has to do with. Remember, the word offering simply meant that in the temple, there's a field. You need to elevate it. And the word tithe means that there's a bunch of that there is a tide, T-I-D-E, high tide and low tide, that there is a tenth, ten fingers on your hand, that you got to combine those 10 numbers to go to the teen or team, to become a part of the team or the teen, to go from the number 10, because you can't. Now, once you get past your 10 fingers, how do you get number 11? So what source is saying, this is how you go higher. Now, the thing that I like about this, because it means the, and let me go to strong concordance number. Now, again, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth. This is the fifth Hebrew word of the seven Hebrew words that gives us the English word tithing. And again, I've never in the history of histories of histories, from all of the old great preachers to the current preachers today, I've never heard one preacher break down the seven Hebrew words that gives us the one English word tithe. Never. Now I know why. Now, again, let me play it again.
Strong's H6235.
H6235.
Esser.
Esser.
Esser. Second entry.
Second entry.
Esara.
Esara.
Esara. Third entry.
Third entry.
Esereth.
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 Now, remember, it means moon, because the moon affects the tidal or the water. What are you made of, brother, according to science? Now, everybody I know that doesn't know anything about neuroscience, anybody that's in nursing or medicine, they know that the body is made up of anywhere from 70 to 80% water. That's what this is talking about, water. Now, this word, again, spelled E-S-E-R. It means with other numbers. It means take the 10, and it means the accumulation to the extent of the digits. Source, touch the minds of your people. I wish I could make this up, because then I could take credit for it, and then I would be like very, my righteous indignation that I'm trying to hold down would be unholdable. Like I would be blasting pretty much every preacher I know, because they, all these Negroes just regurgitate, just like me, as a retired, you know, Negro myself, as a retired Bible thumper. I taught the same thing, because who? The Reverend Dr. Bishop gave me, that's what I heard. I just regurgitated. I never researched it. I know no preacher who does. I don't know not one preacher who actually goes into the Hebrew. Now, I've been doing this for 10 years. That's why I started it. Now, remember where my disdain came from. I was talking to my sister last night on Facebook. My children didn't know. And I mentioned it. I don't know why. So my sister Linda was texting me on Facebook, and she was apologizing. Now, the children, what she said, I'm apologizing for not being there for you when you was in Richmond. She said, but I'm apologizing to you because I didn't know what you went through when you was in Richmond. So she didn't know that we, you know, that there was this guy, there was three dudes in particular. We just used their, they pretty much all gone now or in prison. So one dude, I remember, we called him Chin. His name was Alexander. Another dude was called, his name was Kenneth. Another guy that I lived with that was kind of like my brother, but he wasn't my brother, and his name was Walter. We called him Bruce. And then there was another dude who wasn't really part of the clique. These three dudes were the devil incarnate. There was like, you know, evil is evil, but when it's like a pit bull. Pit bull by himself, they bad. But when a pit bull gets with other pit bulls, the evil is enhanced. They just go on a killing spree. And I remember one time we climbed through someone. I've never said this in public. I've never told this to my family. I never told this to my children. My daughters were shocked. They told me, Dad, just like, I'm like, yeah, Charlie, this happened. I just didn't tell y'all. I never told my biological brothers. I never told my biological sisters. I've told and I mentioned about how that was a male prostitute who lived basically in a home. That was a woman who lived in the home. I say woman because I was 13. She was like 17 or 18, just a little bit older. She was a female prostitute, and they used to bring their Johns into the bedroom, and I slept on the floor. I didn't have a bed. And while I was sleeping on the floor, I see a dude on dude, and then I saw female on dude, and then sometimes female on female. This pretty much happened almost every night. And my supposedly father, stepmother was in the next bedroom. That wasn't the bad part. The bad part was when I would go steal a bike, and then Bruce, and then Kenneth, Alexander, they would come over there, and they would beat me up and take my bike. Then I had to go steal another one. And so no matter what I did, they could take it because they were older than me and they was bigger than me. And I used to call my brother Glenn, and he'd say, bro, I can't, I'm in Forest, dog, you in Richmond. If I could help you, man, he said, dude, you got to stand up for yourself, bro. I said, dude, I'm like, what am I supposed to do, man? They bigger than me, man. And he's like, I don't know, man. You got to figure it out. So when I was 13, that's when the shit hit the fan. I realized I'm alone in this world. So my righteous indignation doesn't come from religion. It comes from living with the devil. We climbed into basically a middle school girl's into, and their parents was in the living room. This was so crazy. And these niggas basically raped her. And they held her down and said, your turn. I couldn't do it. And so I remember Bruce punched me in the face. I remember Ken Watson punched me. I remember Chin jumped on me. And I remember they beat me down right in the freaking street like a dog. And they just left me there. And I remember going home and the door was locked. And I couldn't even get in the house. And I just remember just walking around the streets at night by myself. And I wanted to kill myself, but I'd already tried twice and I failed. I didn't know what to do. And I remember walking across, we called the bayou. It was like this little ditch that had some water in it. And I walked across the bayou to Imogene's house, who she's still living, and I talked to her a lot. That woman saved my life, man. She already had this dude named Lee Davis, this other dude named Ernest Bledsoe, this other dude. She had a house full of, right now today, I just called her. She got 6 kids in a house right now. That's not hers that she's raising. That woman has raised about 4 or 5 generations of kids. She's still doing it, still rolling. She's like 80 now. Well, maybe 70s. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is that's just one. We actually pulled gasoline day, and every evil that they did, they say, well, your turn, bro. And I wanted to be a thug, man. I wanted to be. Yeah, y'all understand. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be like Bruce, man. I looked up to these dudes, man. There was this drug dealer in town, man. This dude, his name was Thomas. And I remember him because my girlfriend at that time was 14. And I remember she kicked me to the curb for this dude. And he was like 20-something. And I remember the anger that I had. So I went on top of this. It was the old jailhouse. And I know he used to ride by there. And I went to the old jailhouse and I threw a brick on top of his car. And I missed because I was angry because he took my girl. And I remember he came out, man, and he was knocking. I could hear it, pshoo, pshoo, every time he shot. And the bullets was whistled past my head. And I remember I ran underneath this house. And I was in and I saw him. He got out of his car. He's like, yeah, where that little nigga at? Where he at? And he knew it was me, but he couldn't catch me. And I remember I was looking at his feet, and if he would have looked down underneath that car, underneath that house, I wouldn't be here. I mean, we pulled gasoline on a cat. And then they lit the match, and they gave it to me. There you go. Do it. And I remember I was crying, man. I remember Bruce punched me in the chest, little old sorry mother, and boom, he hit me in the chest. And then he took the match and then he threw it on the cat. Woof. The cat was crazy. That's just the stuff I can tell you over the air. I can't even tell you the other evil that we did. And all the time, the last thing that we did was when we used to run into old ladies' houses and we ring the doorbell. And they call it knock knock or something right now, but we ran into the house. We did home invasion before it was home invasion. I was 13. And I remember we was at the post office, and this was what got them put into the detention center. And the only reason I didn't go because I was standing across the street because I was afraid. But I used to get beat up every time I didn't join in. And then finally I started figuring it out. And I started carrying bats, bricks, bottles. And I started fighting back, man. I just got tired of getting my ass whooped. But I remember when they stole this lady's purse at the post office, and they didn't know that was federal because it was a post office. Now, the reason I'm telling you all of these stories about my childhood, because that was hell. Negroes telling me, when you die, you're going to go to hell. Nigga, I already been to hell. I got spanked on the daily. I got locked outside of my own biological father said, if me and Betty want you to have a key, we would give it to you. And I was so dumb, I didn't know what that meant. So I would go home and I would sit on the porch and I would wait. This nigga would walk past me and go to the house, go in there and lock the door. And it was supposed to be my house. I remember I had 3 shirts and 3 pair of pants. Betty Sue used to buy it for me. My own biological father, to this day, I can't remember anything that he's brought for me. I don't remember the words, son, I love you. I don't remember him ever saying those words to me. I don't recall him putting his arms around me and doing what I did this weekend with my sons. I picked him up, I took him out to eat, and I looked him in the eye and I said, son, I'm proud of you. Kendrick, I'm proud of you. BJ, I'm proud of you. I love you, man. I don't have those memories, man. That's why I hate religion. When they put me in a box, I'm going to try to destroy every church I know. That's my purpose. That's my mission in life. Because the devil runs the church. As I've been saying, because I've been on both sides of the fence. I started in the living room. There's a big 20, 30, actually $50 million building now where I started with them Negroes. I know how the church works. I didn't read about it in the book. And it works on the same principles that all other, as I talked about before, how to build. That is not opening the windows of heaven. That has nothing to do with source code. That has nothing to do with the God that I serve. Nothing. The God that I serve says, keep your energy for yourself, because you can't help nobody else if you can't help yourself. The big G told me the same thing I'm telling you. Study to show yourself approved unto God, unto me, not unto men. That means you don't do things that other men tell you to do. You do what I tell you to do. That means that everything that I tell you to do, it uplifts you. You, not other people. But I thought we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves. I thought we're supposed to lay down ourselves. I thought we're supposed to be a doormat. I thought we're supposed to let, you know, serve other people. All that other bull crap that they teach in church. I thought that's why we were here. Now, church is not, I'm just speaking about my experience. I just came through the church. And if I was a Muslim, I'd be talking about a damn mosque. I'm not a Muslim, man. I was born here. I can only talk about my experiences. So I'm not bashing or hurting. I'm telling you real life. And so what am I saying? Well, according to the definitions that we just read, none of those definitions has nothing to do with coins. It has nothing to do with paper. Has nothing to do with time. Has nothing to do with going to no building. Has nothing to do with tithe and offering. Has nothing to do with nothing that we've been taught. According to the definitions of the words that I just read, it means that you take numbers together and you put these numbers together. It means the accumulation of numbers that when you get to 10, you start accumulating those numbers to go 11 through 19. That's what it means. Why? That means, according to the definitions, it means to do something with numbers, as I've been doing with the life optimization chart. That is why I use numbers. Every word in the Bible, when I break it down and I find the base meaning of the word, it always has something to do with numbers. Now, I wish to God I could say that I made this up. I wish I could say that I'm God's gift to the planet. And Source told me, look up your name in Hebrew. That's why I have that inside of the Dear Kinnear Report. And the young sister I was telling you about, I looked up her name in Hebrew, and it means uplifting the spirits of humanity. It's the same thing that I'm doing. So I found out about myself when I was on the edge, and I had destroyed my first marriage and was in the process of destroying the second one. And I said, okay, something's wrong with me. And Saul says, yep, you're not being authentic. That's how you open the windows of heaven. Be yourself. Okay, I said, Saul, who am I? And Saul says, look at the name. Okay, what is letters? Every letter has a numerical equation. That's called biblical alphanumerics. That's the ancient text. That's called theomathematics, ancient text. That's the Bible code. That means the Bible is written in code. So every letter in the Bible has a numerical meaning. So I looked it up, and then I found out that my name in Hebrew means Bethaziel. But I went into the Bible. I could not find the meaning of I didn't. I said, who is Bethaziel? Okay, I then went to the ancient text. There's a book called the Book of Antiquities, written by Josephus. In the Book of Antiquities, which is where all of Christianity's history comes from, by the way, and everybody, you guys don't know about Josephus, another study for another time. But in the Book of Antiquities, chapter 3, verse 2, it tells who Josephus is. I'm sorry, who Bethaziel is. So the word Bethaziel means in the shadow of God. So when Moses received the Torah, and the Torah means Torah or Torah, T-O-2-R-H-A, Ra, Egyptian God. But the Egyptian god Ra is actually code for the third eye, which means paino, as I've broken down before, and we went all the way down in the word at the base. It means paino. It's the place where old boy wrestled with the angel and he touched him in his hip. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said, okay, no problem. And he said, that place where I wrestled with God, paino. So where you go to experience God, to wrestle with God, third eye. That's the hypothalamus, that's the amygdala, and the pineal gland. That just, what does that mean? Meditation. What does that mean? Prayer. What does that mean? You, yourself, and your other self, all three of y'all, your head, your heart, and your gut, y'all all get together, and y'all sing Kumbaya, and y'all come up with a plan. But I did that, and I came up with plans 58 times, and 58 jobs later, they all wrong. Then I tried businesses, 23 businesses, and all 23 failed. So I knew that I couldn't find my plan on my own. So source says, Negro, I already gave you a plan. Did you read in the Bible that said that you have been predestined? Did you read that where it says, I knew you in your mother's womb? Have you forgotten that you are begotten? Yes, sir, I have. I didn't know that I had a prior existence with the Father. So I say, source, what was my prior existence with the Father? He says, man is name. Why do you think I changed Saul's name to Paul? Why did I change Abram to Abraham? Why do you change a man's name? When you change a man's name, you change a man's destiny. So man, M-A-N, is N-A-M. Turn it around. M-A-N, turn it around, N-A-M. The E is silent. So, okay, what is my name? So I looked it up. And my name means Bethesiah. So that means Bethesiah was the man that was given the visions of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It's called the Mishkan, M-I-S-H-K-A-N, Mishkan. That means a tent-like structure where God's presence dwells. God's presence is the Shekinah, glory of God. It means to build the Shekinah, S-H-A-K, and that's what have I been doing all my life. So in the Old Testament, in the camp of Israel, they set up a tabernacle where the priests went in. It means to build temples that houses the Shekinah glory of God. So Moses, he received the blueprint. It's called the Tavnet, T-A-V-N-I-T. That is the heavenly dwelling. But it was unable, or he was unable to create a physical place for the heavenly dwelling place to dwell. So therefore, God called Bethesiel. And Bethesiel is the chief architect of structure. He builds up people so that way they can contain purpose. They can understand purpose. They can contain purpose. They can contain the numbers that source gave them. I don't give numbers. All I do is assist you with building the tabernacle that houses the Shekinah glory of God. That's the same thing Bethesiah. Bethesiel is and was the grandson of Ur, H-U-R, from the tribe of Judah. He was the ancestor of King David. So according to Josephus in the book of Antiquities, chapter 3, he was also the husband of Moses' wife. Moses' name means water. It means, again, Moses, water. His sister Miriam. They were chosen by source to go with Moses and Aaron and Joshua on the top of the mountain where Moses received, again, the Ten Commandments. Now, this is mentioned a little bit in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. 8 through 15, Exodus 17, 8 through 15. So, Brother Will, that sounds great, dog. But what does that have to do with opening the window of heaven? Everything. Because if I open up the window and I pour something in it, can you contain it? Can the vessel contain and house the Shekinah glory of God? No, unless it's built. I'm here to build temples. Not temples made of hand. Temples made of spirit, the ruach, the pneuma. So every day, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to uplift you. I'm here to make sure that you know who you are so that way you can walk according to your God-given destiny. Bethesiel means in the shadow of God. These words, now I haven't even got to the good stuff. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. So we broke down two words, tithe and offering. Neither one of them has nothing to do with money. They have nothing to do with coins. They have nothing to do with paper. They have nothing to do with time. They have nothing to do with energy. It all has to do with numbers that raises your mental disposition so that way you feel love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Why? Against such things, there is no law. That means the law, the wall, bad shizness can't bring your vibration down. You continue to house the Shekinah glory of God. So when it says that, you know, hey, every day the fathers were gone, blah, 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 Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yeah, rob me. You know, the Reverend Dr. Bishop say this scripture all the time. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Now, again, I've already broken down the word God, man. And I don't know how and I don't know why preachers don't just break this down. I don't understand. Now, as a retired preacher, I can get it a little bit because I understand that we ain't got time to research every word seven layers deep. There's other things you got to do, counseling. You know, you got to go to the, you know, pastor's breakfast. And we got to do all this other stuff that we do. So we ain't got time to be sitting down here breaking down the scriptures, Brother Will. I know, boo-boo. I've been there, done that too. But it says it, and let me break this down. It says that, will a man rob God? Now, the word God in that scripture.
Strong's H430, entry 1, Eloah. Eloah. Second entry, Elohim. Elohim. And the third entry, Eloah. Eloah.
So those three words, and there's a whole bunch of more, Elohim, and then get into El Shaddai, Elion, all of the other words. What does this mean, brothers and sisters? So when it says God, this is who you're robbing. It has nothing to do with what we've been taught. The word Elohim, the first one, if we just look at the first base, it means rulers, it means judges, it means divine ones with an S plural, it means angels. And it says gods, little g, or goddess. It means a godlike. It means work or special possessions. It means true God, Elohim. So according to this, it has to do with a term that is usually subscribed to magistrates and sometimes angels. Gods or goddesses. Now, we've deified angels or judges or great, the mighty men of renown. Now, again, that's just Elohim. Now, that Eliah, not Eloah, let me see, let me pull this up again. H 43, Eloah. Yeah, Eloah, L E O W A H H, two H's, Eloah. That means false god. Please. Strong Concordance number H-433. 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 False God. We don't even want to read Strong Concordance number H-410. Strong Concordance number H-410. That means E-L. And all of the Old Testament prophets' names end in L. E-L. Now, L-E-L means mighty men of renown. It means false god, demon, or imagination. L. So when people's name, that's why people like Michael, Raphael, Rachel, all those people that live in L, those are usually fallen angels, fallen deities. That's why those people, every Michael I know is or had, and my best friend growing up when I was a kid, name was Michael. And think about Michael Jordan, Michael Johnson, Michael Jackson. Think about all the Michaels. They're all associated with some type of a deviant sexual issue. I know my best friend, every girlfriend I had, he went behind my back and, you know, yeah. Another study for another time. So, L, but what does it mean, though? Again, mighty men of renown. Then we got Strong Concordance number, H. Again, we're talking about God. So, H. 3-5-2. It's spelled A-Y-I-L, but it's phonetically similar to L. It's pronounced very similar, L, but it's spelled A-Y-I-L. You know what that means? That means ram's horn. It means a strong man, leader, chief, or mighty tree. So all I'm simply saying is this is not referring to the supreme deity of all deities. It is referring to a little deity. And it's extremely, extremely important. So again, how do we open up the windows of heaven so that way we can pour out a blessing or a blessing that overtakes us? So that way in the evil day when it shows up, when you are in the belly of the whale, like I am right now, when you are in the lion's den and the lion is roaring, he's showing you his teeth and he's hungry and you're sitting in the back and you blazing up into heaven and you ain't got a care in the world. And because in your brain, you're not in the physical body. In your brain, you are in the blissfulness of heaven. How do you do that? How do you elevate your brain in the midst of an emotional drain? How do you do that? Now, I would love to say, like most preachers that talk about stuff that they have not done or lived, I would love to say that I don't have no experience in this area. But as you know, on June the 30th, I got some experience. And so what I'm telling you is the shit that I did not read in the book. Because I had a choice to make on June the 30th. It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. So you should bring your tithes. Now, remember, tithes means the sum total of numbers that allows you to go above the number 10. The word tithe means you got 10 fingers. The word tithe is the word tithe. So if you go above the number 10, it affects your tithe. That's what I mean. It means the water in your body, if you can count the numbers, that means if you can elevate above the 10, the number 10, then the numbers goes into a teen, which is a team. You become a part of the team. It's like you become a part of the team of God. You elevate your brain where you become a part of the team. God's team, the big team, T-E-A-M, team. So the number 10, you don't get to, then you get 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, teen. It's the ability to elevate. I'm saying 11, but you know, when we get to the teen numbers, once you get past 12, you get to 13. That's what the 13th floor is always missing in all hotels. Because that's when you get in. That's when you start to become a part of source code. When I talk about the word repent, the word re means to return. Pent means the top. Remember, I'm a peak performance coach. I'm not a performance coach. That means 13th floor and up. So everybody that's, again, Hebrews 6:1. Now, again, we read that in the private message. There's nobody now that's a part of the life management system that can ever tell me that you should talk to, listen to, or hang out with anybody that is preaching what every preacher that I know preaches. You can't tell me. You cannot be the member of the life management system and still be Hebrews 6:1. That's not possible because we read and we broke it down what it says don't do. And it went through the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of baptism, doctrine of laying on the hands. And it says that you're not supposed to do that because you're supposed to be mature. And then we read Hebrews 5:14, where it talked about the difference between the meat and the milk. So everybody that's part of the life management system, you know the reason that you don't have the joy of heaven right now is because you're still on the milk of the word. Jesus Christ and him crucified. You ain't got the meat of the word. I am an individual Messiah type. I'm an individual expression of God on earth. I'm a 1-0. Zero means the source for all of the other numbers. That's why zero is the first. That's why zero is the omega. That's why zero is a order from. That's why zero is old blood. That's why zero is King Og. That's why King Og snuck onto the ark. That's the most powerful. That's why old blood people are the people. That's why everybody, you go to the blood bank right now, they will gladly take your blood if you got old blood. Because that stands for the original. So how do we open up the bliss so that way we are in a toe-curling mental disposition in the face of adversity? Not when your bank account is good and everything is going great. No, you got to bring the tithes into the storehouse. So that means all your numbers They got to be into the storehouse. You got to bring them into the storehouse. Now, brothers and sisters, when we look at this word storehouse, and we're going to go through these Hebrew words really quickly. Otsard. Otsard. That's the Hebrew word for this English word storehouse. So everybody on this call, you have to otsard. Now, the word storehouse means treasure. It means treasure house. It means a treasury. It means magazine of the weapons. It means God's armory. So a storehouse is, now remember the word creston, that means weapon. Tie the storehouse, that's where you store the ammunition. So you are a weapon of God, and you're supposed to store ammunition. That's what that means. So this is how you maintain the bliss, or this is how I maintain the joy of heaven in the body of a man. I understand the definition of the word storehouse. Now, everybody on this call has that same capacity. I'm not God's gift to the planet. That means everybody or anybody can do this. That simply means to bring the weapons of God, or the ammunition, I should say, not the weapons, the ammunition, and to put it inside of the storehouse. Now, brothers and sisters, that is extremely
214. Otsard. Otsard.
So we got Otsard. That means armory of God. That means the ability to put something inside of the storehouse of God, that there may be room in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So what we're doing is we are proving that we are the Lord of hosts. Now, again, that word, as we get into all of these words, this has to do, when we talk about, like the word Lord, where we get the word Jehovah, Jehovah, that just simply means manager. That just simply means the person that is supposed to manage everything that's inside of the storehouse. That person will be you, boo-boo. And the word host, where we get the word G-host, ghost. So if somebody, there's a term that the youngsters use, well, I shouldn't say youngsters, but a new term, they call it ghosting. So if I go ghost on you, that means that I'm taking my energy out and I'm gone. So that's a term, that's what everybody should do. You should like that term. So if you're ghosting, that means that you are a G, God, host. Host means entertaining, somebody that's entertaining a foreign dignitary. So ghosting means I got to leave you, I got to go hang out with Source. That's what ghosting means. So when I disappear, y'all can't find me, I'm hanging out with Source. I'll be back. Just hang tight. Give me a minute. Maybe 5, maybe 10. But if I go ghost on you, that's a good thing. You say, okay, ooh, I'm waiting for them to come back, because they're going to come back with some nuggets because they're hanging out with Source. So ghosting is hosting. So Lord, you are the manager of taking your time and going hanging out so you can shine. You should be ghosting a lot. If you hang out with a bunch of people all the time and you ain't ghosting, that means you ain't hanging out with Source. I spend a lot of time ghosting. That's how I know what I know. So I get all of my information from Source. So the word ghost, so when you receive the Holy Ghost, remember the word holy means set apart. Ghost means G, little G, host. So that means that you are the little G and you're hosting. Host means you're entertaining God, Source. So you are set apart to entertain God. That's how you maintain your brain, so that way you don't suffer from an emotional drain. Because if you do not maintain your brain, you will suffer from an emotional drain when the shizness hit the fan. When that evil day shows up and the thing that you dread, you get that thing from the doctor that says you got the C word. Or something else happens in your life and it drains you emotionally, because now you don't know what are we going to do. But if you're already mentally prepared, you're already in a mental state, because you are in a state of bliss because you've been hanging out with Source Code. And if you've been hanging out with Source Code, guess what, brothers? Guess what, sisters? You are the vibrational equivalent of Source Code. That's why when I say, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So in the scripture, it says that bring your tithes and offering in the storehouse, where there's meat in my house, and prove that with, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So let's break this down. Last two words, and that is the word. I wasn't going to break down windows, but I just tell you what that means really quickly. We'll break down the word heaven, because that's the big one. So the word window is really interesting, because it's similar to abracadabra. It means aruba. Where we get the word abracadabra, or abracadabra. So a window, oh man, I can't skip over that. I wanted to skip over it, y'all, but it's too deep, man. I was going to try to let y'all off the hook.
H699, Aruba, Aruba.
So the word window means Aruba, where we get the word Abru, Canabru, Abracadabra. So the word Aruba, that means a lattice opening where smoke escapes. So in the top of your brain, there's the crown chakra, and all of the Vedic and the Hindu texts, when you access the crown chakra, that means what the word offering and tithes mean. That means that when you lift up something that's in your temple, between both temples is gray matter called the brain. So whatever is in between the temple that is exalted, that lifts you up, that makes you feel love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, your neurons start to fire. That's called sex in the brain. Your neurons start having like a little spiritual sex orgy. So all your neurons are firing together. They're hanging out. That produces something like a smoke. So that is what is called the Christ crystal latex or lattice. It is spelled L-A-T-T-I-C-E. That's what that word means. It means that that's activated. It simply means it's like smoke. So in the Old Testament, when they was burning, they was offering burnt offerings to God, that's what they was doing. That means that their brain was so hot, it was on fire, it's like the neurons was, there was like your neurons was having a cookout. And so when your neurons are firing like that, you're in heaven, boo-boo. That means both toes, all 10 toes is curled. That means your brain is that it's about to short out. That means you're oscillating and vibrating on all frequencies. That's what that word means. So the word storehouse, it means the word abracadabra. So that means the word abracadabra means I bring about what I speak. So this word means you bring about what you think. It means that this is how you open the word. Open. It means, and let me quote Strong Concordance number H as in Henry, for the word H means Hebrew, 699. That word H699. It means a interwoven network or lattice. It means a lattice work. It means dove house, D-O-V, dove house. It means floodgates of heaven. Drop mic, S stays left. Oh, man, I could. Let me take a sip of water. I'm getting excited. Floodgates of heaven. At the base, at the core, that word, abracadabra, floodgates of heaven. It means open up as if. Open when it rains. It means you're raining thoughts, because remember it's talking about water, because the tide controls the water. So the tide means tide. Tide. What controls the tide? The moon. The moon is what? Up in the air. It's heaven. It's high up. So when your thoughts reach a high place, you control tide, homie. You control the frequency and the wave inside of your own body. And your tide has effects on other people. This is a planetary. That's why the planets, it's called Mercury retrograde. All of the planets affect everything on this planet, on this earth. We all are affected by the planets. Now, whether you know that or not, that's another study for another time. I know this is contrary, especially if you're a traditional Christendom. So opening the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain. That's the song. Open the floodgates. Y'all know that song? That's what that means. Let it rain. Y'all know that song? That's what this is talking about. That one word is talking about opening the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Now, we didn't got the time to go through the other words, but man, we got to make the time. Strong's 8693. For this one word, brothers and sisters, that means windows. Now, I love y'all, but I can't play church with y'all, man. I love you, but you know the way my savings account is set up, like I likes to ball out of control. Like I've already been on the dark side, and I ain't going back. I was raised in Egypt, and God brought me out. So y'all can go back to say, you know, like old Dayton told him, hey, at least when he was in Egypt, Pharaoh fed you, you know, you had the 3 squares a day. Let's go back to Egypt. Now y'all can go back if y'all want to. I ain't going back.
Psalms 693. Arav.
So the word windows, second base word for windows, Arav. Spelled A or like the word Arab. A-R-A-B. But it's pronounced like A-R-A-V. Arav. That simply means network. It means to weave a network. It means to interweave. It means to mingle. It means to tie a knot. That means that all of your thoughts should tie a knot. They should all come together. Remember I said a spirit. What is a spirit? A spirit is a network of thoughts. It is a group of related thoughts. That's de-Christianizing or demystifying a spirit. So we got a spirit of alcohol. That means I know that your thoughts or interweaving to if you got a spirit of lust, you got a spirit of doubt, you got a spirit of unbelief, there's a plethora of spirits. Which one you got? So if you got a spirit, that means that you just got an interwoven thoughts. That opens up the windows. So that word windows simply means to interweaving thoughts. Now, the last word I want to break down, I think I did say I was going to break down blessing too. But the last word, the most important word, or one of the most important words that we got to understand is the word heaven. Now, this is a smoking gun because Negroes are talking about they want to die and go to heaven. I'm already here. I'm waiting on y'all to come join me. Now, I know, contrary to your theology.
Psalms 8064, Shemayim.
So the word heaven in the Hebrew, now we're not talking about the Greek, we're talking about the Hebrew. In the Hebrew is Shemayim. In the Greek is Aranas. So in the Hebrew, Shemayim, that gives us the English word heaven. So that means abode of stars. That means visible universe. That means atmosphere. Come on, preacher. Are you serious? Yes, sir. Shemayim. Now, remember, stars. So I don't know no Reverend Dr. Bishops that know anything about cosmology. Do you? Do you know any Reverend Dr. Bishops that know anything about Orion, about Osiris, about the dog star, about what the upwards expanse of the south, about the god of the south, about the god of forces, about the Maseruth? Do you know any Reverend Dr. Bishop that preaches anything about the Maseruth? Okay, that's what I thought. I don't either. So why do you think I studied the Maseruth? Because it says that's what heaven is. Heaven is the Maseruth. It's the abode of stars. It is the visible universe. Emphasis on the word visible. It is the atmosphere. Shemayim. It means atmosphere, homie. It means the firmament. It means the upper expanse. It means the foundations of the globe. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 8. So this is where your blessings come from. That's heaven. So I already know my house. I already know that I'm in the house of Leo if I go with the 13th zodiac signs, and I'm in the house of Virgo if I go with the 12th. So if I go with Constantine, if I go with Greco-Roman, or if I go back with more of before the Greco-Roman, getting more into Egyptology and getting more in prior to 1611, the day that I was born, September the 15th, is actually Leo, which explains my leadership abilities, which explains why, but all my life I thought I was a Virgo. And then I researched it and found out, hey, I'm not a Virgo, I'm a freaking Leo. And if you do, all the members of the life management system, y'all already know this because we already discussed it. And so we already know you got to check both systems. That's why I wrote the book, Ophiuchus, Serpent Holder. Ophiuchus, that's the 13th zodiac sign. How many people know? Most people don't even know about the 13th zodiac sign. Now, this word Shemayim, like all of these words, has an underlining word for, again, what we call heave up or heaven. Now, all of these words are very, 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 very important. But for the sake of time, you know, obviously we can't go through 7 layers deep like I do in the private studies and like I like to do. But we give you enough meat and then you can do further research on your own. And remember, your goal is not to agree with me. That's not why you're here. That's not what you should be doing. Your goal is to say, you know what, let me find holes in Doc's theory. Let me just check. Let me see if I'm going to go pull this up myself. I'm going to look in the Greek and the Hebrew and see, you know, maybe Doc bumped his head. Maybe that's the day that he drank that purple Kool-Aid. And then he come on do this show talking cray-cray. And he won't, you know, want me to join in his cray-crayness. So your job is to prove me wrong. Your job is not to prove me right. I want you to look. I want you to try to find some holes in my theorem. Because I don't got a theory, homie. I got a freaking closed circle. It's a loop. And you should have one too. Otherwise, when you are in the lion's den, when they throw you in the fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you get swallowed up in the belly of the whale like Jonah, when your day of adversity comes, you will not be able to maintain your disposition. You're going to look at the outside reality, and it's going to override your inside mentality. That means tongue-kissing the devil in the mouth. That is not a good look, boo-boo. I'm just saying. So last but not least, we've broken down all of these words, and so now we know everything that you've been taught about tithing and offering is wrong, according to the scriptures that I didn't write. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot me now. I'm just a messenger. He said, bring all your tithes to the storehouse. Now, again, remember, storehouse has nothing to do with what we've been taught. That's extremely important, man, because this is where you bring it. So that means it has nothing to do with a building. It has to do with a weaponry. It means magazine that holds weapons. It means a place where you store stuff. It means it means treasure house. It means a depository. It means garner, garner. It means cellar, or houses that has a cellar. It means house. So the storehouse, that's where your, again, thoughts should go. Now, that word, again, it means to save up, to lay up, to treasure up. It means enclosing. It means restraining. It means shut up. Shut up as meaning to lock it up. It means to you put it away in a safe place. That's what that means. So the storehouse means that you take your weapons. What are your weapons? Your fiery darts. What are your fiery darts? Your thoughts. So the enemy is sending you fiery darts. Yeah, you got your own fiery darts. Why? You are a Christian. What does the word Christian mean? Christ means weapon. Christ means drug. So my question to you today, do you want to be a drug or do you want to be a weapon? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. It's up to you, boo-boo. Now, I've already did a 12-hour series and written a book on the difference between, that's why you would not find the word Christian until after 1611. Go back in history. They was called Christians. Why? They were weapons. They smoked devils. They didn't get out. They didn't hang out to get drunk with them. So the Christians today are drugged. Look how they act on Sunday. Like somebody that drunk the purple Kool-Aid. Because that's the definition of the word. Words establishes world. All I need is a word, homie, and I can tell you everything about you. Give me a word. Give me your name. I can tell you everything about you. I know you better than you know yourself. Because I know the words. That's what the Bible says. You know, the word. That's you, boo-boo. The word of God is you. God has not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written them in the hearts and the minds of his people. You are the word that became flesh and is walking around men. You are an incarnation that uses an incantation that results in your incarceration. That is you, boo-boo. You are the word of God, but you don't know. And so you give away your power. Therefore, you cannot become a single standing column of waveform energy. So therefore, you can't open up the windows of heaven because you're depending upon somebody else to open it up for you. Well, boo-boo, not me. The last word is this word blessing, which, again, I like the word blessing. Either way, same. It's the ability to over and understand. This is how you vibrate out of control. So let's wrap this up. So this English word blessing.
Strong's H 1293. Beracha. Beracha.
So beracha is a Hebrew word. H 1293. Beracha is this Hebrew word for gifts, the English word blessing. So that means treaty of peace. It means a gift. It means a present from source. It means blessings. It means prosperity. It means source of the blessing. Beracha. So beracha, it actually means the benedict of prosperity. Woo-wee. It means... Wow. It means benediction, invocation of good, the benediction of righteousness. Now, brothers and sisters, pour out a benediction, pour out a invocation. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't really over, under, and understand. I don't know if you can over, under, and understand what that means. Let me give you the second base.
Strong's age, 1293.
Before we...
Beracha. Beracha.
Notice it sounds very similar to the first word, but it is a different spelling. So the first word, again, has to do with a benediction and an invocation. The second word is spelled just like Barak's name. It's B-R-A-K. Barak. Barak. B-R-A-K-E. Now, it means a salute. It's like when you salute somebody in the military. It also means bliss. It also means like kneel, K-N-E-E-L. It means an act of adornment. It means benefit. It means euphorism. It means abundant. Now, this word means breaking down. So, blessings overtake you so much that it actually breaks you down, where it calls you to bend the knee or to kneel because you are overwhelmed with the, I'm going to use the word, significance of the manifestation of every thought you've ever had. This word means basically meeting your vibrational equivalent when everything you've ever wanted is delivered. When you could think about every thought when it comes to wealth, health, wisdom, and toe-curling relationships, and it shows up, you are, I'm telling you, you are overwhelmed. You are emotionally overwhelmed. That's what that word means. Barak, like Barack Obama. Without the Obama, Barak. So the word blessing, and this is powerful, man, because that's the feeling that you have that you know you probably don't deserve, because you know that you've done some shizness in your life that you're not proud of. But despite all your flaws, despite all your shortcomings, despite all of your inadequacies, this word blessing means that he's pouring out a blessing that there's not enough room for you to contain it. It is so much that it's like, you ever go to a place, you know, like an all-you-can-eat place, and you just eat so much, and you can't even walk to the car. You kind of waddle, or they just kind of like roll you out the door because you know you overate, but the food was so good, you just like, man, that's what the blessing means. It is a feeling, my brothers. I'm trying to tell you, this is heaven. I know a lot of people gonna say a lot of other stuff, but I'm telling you, you get your chance to either experience it or not experience it as well. Because when something happens in your life and you know you should not feel the way that you feel, you know you did the best you could, but you know you failed miserably. As a father, I did the best I could. I'm going over my head. I know there's a lot of things I could have did differently and I could have did better. But I did the best I could where it comes to relationships, whether it comes to my finances, managing my money. I've made a lot of money, man, but I've made some bonehead mistakes. I've lost a lot of money by, I remember buying, going into this multi-level marketing company where they were selling liquid vitamins. Man, I remember dropping $5,000 like it was nothing. I was always excited. I remember where water softeners and water systems. Then it was windmills. Oh, man. I think I went through about 30 different multi-level marketing companies trying to get rich. I remember calling my brothers and sisters and saying, this is it. This is it. And I just couldn't imagine. Now I understand how why they never answered my phone call and never called me back. I'm calling, I ain't got no money, and I'm calling somebody with money, telling them how to make money. If that's not the stupidest thing I ever heard. And still, my brothers and sisters, they still, yeah, bro, that sounds good, man. Just send me the information. I remember my sister Brenda, man, Paul Brenda, man. I used to always call her, Brent, this is it, Brenda. I'm telling you, I'm about to blow up. You want to jump on this? And now she's sitting there, had a job since 18. First, one of the only African Americans, black person, people in a job, and female. She's balling out of control. Husband was nutting up at the time. She's raising two daughters by herself. I'm homeless. I got to go live with her. I got a wife and 5 kids. And I'm telling her to invest in liquid vitamins. And we're going to all become millionaires. And all she said was, yeah, bro, that sounds good. Send me the information. She didn't tell me, Negro, if you do not get your country behind up out of here with that crazy bull and go get a freaking job. She didn't tell me that. She should have. I remember calling my brother Glenn, and I remember telling him, man, hey, bro, this is it, bro. I look up to my brother and my sister. They did something I couldn't keep a job. I know now why I'm a 5. I'm like to win. I change every day. You meet me tomorrow, I may be wearing baggy jeans and something else. Then next day I'm in short. I change like to win. But that's the way God made me. I used to be ashamed of it. My brothers and sisters, my brother Glenn, my brothers, my sister Brenda, they wired differently. I didn't understand that, and I wanted to be like them, and I used to beat myself up, and that was the source of a lot of my anger, and the devil used that to drive a wedge in my brain that made me isolate myself for years because I wanted to be like somebody that I wasn't. That's heaven. Heaven is looking at your numbers and falling in love with yourself. That I don't care how flawed you are. You may not be like your brother. You may not be like your sister. You may not be like a rich man or a poor man. But you are exactly the way God made you. The stuff that they teach in every church that I've ever been to, I know that's not from God because it doesn't resonate with my spirit. It does not make me feel love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. It is all about rules and regulations and hoops that no man can obtain. Brothers and sisters, the way that you open up the windows of heaven so that way you can pour out a blessing on yourself that will overtake you because you know that you really, really, really don't deserve it, but you really, really, really do deserve it because it's not based upon you. It's based upon Source. As an individual expression of Source, Source has qualified me. The scripture says he's called me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He glorified me. It's not up to me. I'm an individual expression of God on earth. The way that you open up the windows of heaven is to accept your divinity, to accept yourself, to look in the mirror and raise your own tide or your own tide. By putting something in your temple that elevates you, it doesn't tolerate you. Most people, myself included, we just tolerate ourselves. We don't elevate ourselves. And then we look outside of ourselves for somebody else to elevate ourselves because we don't know how to elevate ourselves. I wrote a book many years ago called Faith Talk. I've been revisiting that book. All it is about removing the mind chatter that causes you to scatter. It's about establishing yourself as a single standing column of waveform energy. And the way that you do that, my brothers, the way that you do that, my sisters, is to understand what it says in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. And Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, is not what most people preach. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know that is you. If I will not open the windows, and we know that that word windows is a very, very important word, because that one word window means abracadabra. It means I create what I speak. But this word is arabah, A-R-U-B-B-A-H, which means I create what I think. That's how you open up the windows of the Shamayin, which means heaven. And we know, based upon the words that we've just looked up, that word Shamayin, it means the visible sky and the stars. That means it opens up what's inside of what we call the constellations and the zodiac signs. So there are certain attributes and characteristics that's associated with the sign of Libra, Leo. I have those. And the sign of Virgo. I have those. And I'm born in the month of September. That means total awareness. I have those. I'm born on the 15th of September. That's 1, 5. You add those together, that's 6. The number 1, that means independent leader. I am that. The number 5 means fun. It means adventurous. It means freedom. It means the wind. I have that. The number 6 means nurturing. It means feminine wisdom. It's the number of the pregnant female. It means compassion. And what compassion means, a compass. So you know where to go. So your compass is your guide. So now, and then the year that I was born, when I add that up, that gives me my narrative. And that tells me exactly where to go based upon my compass. That's how, and that is the treasure that is poured down upon me. It has nothing to do with nothing that most people that I know have learned, including myself and what I taught. Brothers and sisters, this is the higher ether where the celestial bodies evolve. The word Shamayin, where we get the word heaven, it means the lofty upwards expanse of the sky, the abode of the stars. You are a star. And the word star means celestial being. You are a celestial being, not a terrestrial being. You are a celestial being having a terrestrial experience. Terrestrial means earth. Celestial means sky. You are a celestial being. This word heaven means a celestial being that is located in the higher ether. It means higher ether. So you are above the prince of the power of the air. So you are the queen of the air or the king of the air. You have the ability to oscillate and vibrate above. We don't fly through the storm. We don't fly under the storm. We fly above the storm in the heavens with source. That's how you open up the windows of heaven so that you can pour out a blessing that just overtakes you. So my brothers and my sisters, it's an honor and a privilege to do a little didaculas today. I am a didactic teacher. I've been anointed by source to do didaculas. That is breaking it down line by line, precept by precept, not based upon man's design, but how God has designed me to shine. That is my glow ray. You got one. I got one. That's how source wants us to glow. There is a ray of light that makes each one of us glow. What is your ray? There are seven. Which one do you got? And if you remember the life management system, you already know. So my brothers, my sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. May the big G. He had a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. His name is the entire word of God, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. May the S-O-N, the S-U-N, and as we discussed today, the S-U-M, the sum total of your numbers, lead you to the Ruach and the Numa. That is the set apart one. That is the, as we talked about, holy, set apart, ghost, G, host. You are the G. Host means to entertain. So you are supposed to set yourself apart and entertain and sit down, source, with God. That's how you are led, because it doesn't force, it doesn't push. It leads you and it guides you into all truth. As always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will make a lot about it. I will to you in the heavens, in eternity, above the prince of power of the earth. God bless. We'll see you next time.
I never want to let you go.
Don't you forget, Mia, you the light, don't you forget, Scarlet, you the light, don't you forget.